morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. We're wrestling with this question this week. Why? Why has God allowed this to happen in my life? And, you know, the answer is not given in the Bible specifically, you know, for your situation, here's exactly why this is happening. But what the Bible does say is that God knows about what is going to happen. He knew what would happen in your life. He has planned all things. All things fit into what is his ultimate plan of bringing redemption and peace and glory. And he is a good God. He's a loving God. And when you really believe that, then you can have confidence that this thing that has happened is not something that has ruined God's plan for your life or messed up your life or made it so that you can't go on. No, when you have faith in God, you can say, what has happened to me must be something God has planned or allowed that is going to help me accomplish God's call in my life, God's purpose for me. And so you can keep persevering in the midst even of great suffering and trial. And we see this through different stories. God helps us to grow our faith by sharing with us stories of how he's done this with people in the past. So Joseph is one of these great examples in the Bible of how something terrible happens to him. His brothers betray him. They sell him into slavery. And yet we see that he says, I guess the vision God gave me for my life, the dreams he shared with me in chapter 37, I guess that's all over. My brothers messed up my life. I'll just be miserable. No, he just keeps on serving God. He says, I guess this is where God wants to use me. This is where God's called me to be. So I'm going to do the best I can, live for him, even though it hurts, even though I have pain. And we see Joseph, weeping at times. But we also see he still has this passion to live for and serve God because of his great faith in God. And by the end of the story, we see how God uses all these events to bring about what the Bible calls a great deliverance. Now, in the midst of this story, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 38 this morning. There's an odd chapter in the Bible. And oftentimes people reading through Genesis 37 through 50, you read about what happens to Joseph in chapter 37. In chapter 39, you read about what God does with Joseph down in Egypt. And right in between there, there's chapter 38, which is all about one of Joseph's brothers, Judah. And the question often comes up, why this whole chapter on Judah? Let me give you the rundown on what happens in chapter 38 first. Let me give you the G, maybe the PG version, because it's one of the more graphic chapters in the Bible. Some of you maybe are writing down that so that you can go back and read it later on. I'm going to give you a little bit of the watered-down version of the story right now. Judah marries a wife, a Canaanite, which is interesting. That always kind of leads to trouble. Then he has three sons. The first son gets married to a woman that we're going to read a lot about in the chapter named Tamar, and he dies. And so in this time, in this culture, this sounds strange to us, but this was what people did back then. The brother of the first son who died marries Tamar in order to raise up a child for his brother that will carry on the family name. And so this happens, but this brother refuses to get the wife pregnant. It's not that he completely refrains from, the sexual intimacy, but he refuses to get her pregnant. And so God strikes him down dead because he is not treating his brother's wife right. He's actually basically just sexually misusing her, but not doing what he's supposed to do to honor his brother. So this is the background. And Judah says, the father-in-law actually, says, stay in my house and wait for the third son to get old enough to marry you. Well, she waits. And Judah's third son is now old enough to marry her, but he doesn't give her as a husband to raise up a child. So Tamar takes matters into her own hand. Tamar dresses as a prostitute and easily gets her father-in-law to use her services, if you will, and she gets pregnant that way. And this child is going to carry on, it's actually twins, they're going to carry on the family name of Judah and Judah's first son, and actually Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, all the kings of Judah, including David, are going to come through this line. Now, why is this story in here? Well, first of all, these graphic details are really not that uncommon in the Bible. A lot of times people say, that's in the Bible? Like, why would that be in the Bible? Well, have you read much of the Bible? I mean, these kind of stories of how wicked and full of violence and sexual sin and all kinds of things are... It covers the pages of Scripture. The reason is the Bible doesn't, just kind of push everything under the rug. The Bible doesn't pretend that all the people in the Bible were great people who never sinned. No, the Bible says they were people just like us. They committed great sin. They did wicked things. They did things, you know, anything you can imagine that people do today, you can find examples of people doing it in the Bible, oftentimes part of God's family. And the reason is that God is saying, here's what you look like. The Bible is a double-edged sword. It penetrates. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It gets right down to our heart level and exposes our wickedness, not just to put us down, but so that we know, God, you're right. That's exactly how I am. And then, therefore, we are to turn to God who is holy and righteous and who has provided salvation and find our hope and salvation not in our own efforts, but in Him. So that's why a lot of these details are recorded in the Bible. But there's also a lot going on here in the story in Genesis. Judah is going to be an important character later on. Judah is the one who decided to sell his brother Joseph into slavery in chapter 37. He's the one who came up with the idea, oh, we could make money off this, let's sell him. But later on in the story, we're going to see that Judah changes a lot. By chapter 44, Judah is going to approach Joseph. He doesn't know it's Joseph. Joseph is now ruler over Egypt, and Joseph is having Benjamin, the youngest brother, thrown in prison. Joseph is doing this for a reason. He wants to see what the brothers are going to do. They sold him into slavery. Are they going to do the same to Benjamin? Benjamin also now is the favored son. Have they learned their lesson, or are they still just as wicked? And Judah's the one who says, take me instead. When Joseph says, I'm going to put Benjamin in prison, Judah says, take me, throw me in prison, let Benjamin go. So we see a transformation in the life of Judah over the course of a few chapters. What happens? Well, the events in Genesis chapter 38. And we'll look more at that tomorrow, exactly what happens with Judah. But chapter 38 covers a long period of time. It covers a number of years. And somewhere near the beginning of the story is when Judah betrays Joseph. By the end of the story, Judah's a changed man, and we see that reflected in Genesis 44. God is a God who can take any person, no matter how sinful, and here's a man who his daughter-in-law knew he could easily be tricked into viewing her as a prostitute. He must have had a reputation already as someone who would visit prostitutes. He was also a violent man. He betrayed his brother. He completely lacked in character, but God uses his daughter-in-law and these events to convict him of his sin, to bring him to repentance, to change his heart, and to now use him to do great things. He becomes a key part in this story and how God rescues and brings a great deliverance for Israel. So God can use any person to bring about deliverance. Now, Genesis chapter 38 serves some other ways in the story. I think it's interesting, but Tamar, the daughter-in-law, is basically a captive in her father's house, just as Joseph is going to be a captive in Egypt. Judah is quick to fall into sexual sin, whereas we'll see in chapter 39, Joseph flees from sexual temptation. So the chapter helps to highlight a number of things about what's going on in Joseph's life, but ultimately it winds its way into the story of a story of redemption, a story of a God of hope who can redeem any and every situation. And I pray God does the same for that in your life, and that you will see Him doing that. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.